Blog Talk Radio.
Them that wait for him.
My genesis started with the crucifix. I never knew I was worshiping graven images. No sacrifices of righteousness, it's only wickedness. Man-made doctrine is all of what religion is. No addition or contradicting what y'all has mentioned. It ain't no need for multiplication or long division. No subtraction or any other type of mathematics. Just trust in Yahweh's word and what he say will happen.
Let's go.
It's the delight of my soul, the only thing that controls. This is the sweetest of roll that I ate in this hole. You know it's the Almighty, the one who's always right. See, you see the light in the sky, you know it's day. And then it's night when the lesser light shines. It's the most sublime, the most profound, the illest sound. Never heard round this town, around this globe. It be the Torah of Yahweh Elohim. Do you understand the things that I speak in these days of the last six of past, when these people about to fall off the earth like grass, with this, like the flower fade? You know how it is these days. You have getting played, being so out of age, but my words they spray, proclaim my most high name. And you know how it is, we ain't playing no games. Now you give me this word, so it beats the fire. And y'all be like wood burned up. Tell me that you could ever test black. Never that. How it all comes all into one meaning of truth. It be Yahweh. I'm up in the booth doing what I do, teaching my youth. Y'all cats better know the truth in here. There's no spears, there's no squares, there's only one Yahweh, the Elohim. I'm the son, it's Yahweh. And I'm done.
Shalom, and praise the mighty Yah. Yah is holy, Yah is righteous, and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another month, another week. And we praise the mighty Yah for his mercy endure forever. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. Well, y'all ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what we're going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and he is our only Savior, and not just of Israel, but the Savior of the world. Now, praise the mighty Yah on this beautiful, glorious new month that he has blessed us to come into, the second month. And yesterday we didn't celebrate our monthly meeting, and so we will do so today. And let me say shalom to everyone. And it's a great blessing to be in another month, in this second month. And we'll deal with what we started dealing with yesterday, and that is, which is the beginning of the second month, which are the signs of the last days. We talk about the last days, but I don't know if we really understand what the last days really are. And we also talk about the last days, but I don't know if we really believe in the last days, because you would think the last day is no different from the first day, because what has changed? Has there been any change in the culture, way of life, the actions of the Israelite community? So we're going to discuss these things as we were discussing yesterday. And it's no coincidence that as we began this second, or really this year, the second year, we began right on course with the various days of the heathen calendar. And then we're still on course. And then everybody can see where the division and the problems come in at. And as soon as it get there, we're going to show everybody. We're going to show, just like the Almighty has his word and his books, the devil have their words and their counterfeit book. Just like the Almighty have his holy days, the heathen have their holidays, which are all total counterfeit. They want you to believe that these days are religious. They're not religious at all. They are totally paganism. Just like the Creator have his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, the devil have his word as well. And the word, according to the New Testament, the word became flesh. And of course, as you all know, the word died. The Almighty said his word live forever. But also, just like the Almighty have his months and his years and his days, the devil had a counterfeit also. Almighty, all through the scriptures, let you know a month is 30 days, but the devil will have months that's 31 days, 29 days, 28 days, all kind of days. And where did they get this from? They couldn't have got it from science at all, because the Almighty is the author of science. The Almighty said a day is from sun up to sundown. But they will tell you a day is 24 hours. They will tell you a day start in the middle of the night. And then there are other religious authorities that say, well, the day start at evening. When the day end, how can a day start when the day end versus the beginning of a day? So we have all these counterfeit doctrines that contradict the Creator's truth. And it's important to know, because make no mistake about it, we are indeed in the last days. Make no mistake about it. I think that's probably the one thing that all the various religions, as well as faiths and beliefs and nations, they all believe that at some point in time, all eras come to an end. And surely this era is coming to a great end. And let me tell you, the era that's coming to an end, you read it in the book of Job, the 9th chapter, if we turn there. Again, we are in our 2nd month of the 2nd year. There has to be something special about that, huh? In the book of Job, the 9th chapter, this is what it says. In the 24th verse, and this is what it says. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covered the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? In other words, where is the judges? Who is the judge? Where? We know the judges. Faces got to be covered, because look at what is happening in the world today. The world is in total darkness and total confusion, as the Creator said it would be. But the only reason it is in total state of darkness is because the scriptures say the earth is given into the hands of the wicked. Little do people know, tell us that the wicked, they rise in darkness. Their ways are darkness. You read this in the book of Proverbs. Let us turn to Proverbs. So then you can understand why the wicked why the earth is full of darkness. Now, it's full of darkness in the sense of truth, in the sense of knowledge, in the sense of wisdom, in the sense of righteousness. You see a lot of dark, ugly. Watch what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 2nd chapter. And you'll read this all over the scripture. I'm just pointing out a couple of scriptures on this. In the book of Proverbs 2, it says, in the 10th verse, when wisdom enter into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, standing shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh four things. And watch, look what it says about this evil man and one that speaketh four things. It says, who lead the path of uprightness, which is righteousness, and to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. And the Almighty let us know that he was going to make the crooked things straight, and he was going to put light for darkness, which means that the wicked ultimately had to come back down to earth. Their rulership will become extinct. And we are in a time where righteousness and good and upright is going to triumph over the wicked and evil and death. And as I was stating before, we are in this beautiful, great second month of the second year. And all through the scriptures have plainly let us know that the second represents the Creator's name. And there's a lot of things that we have to begin to learn when it comes to the Creator's signs. The second is one of the Most High signs. And oftentimes, and this is why the last days are so important, because just show you a couple things what the Creator did so that you can understand the second. One of the great things the Creator would do is in the book of Genesis, the seventh chapter. The 11th verse, and this is what it says. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So as you can see here, and you know the story of Noah, when the Creator decided to destroy the earth by flood, why did he choose to do it in the second month? And what was it about this second month that the Creator thought, well, let me do it in that month, and let me do it on the 17th day of the month, and let me destroy all flesh? Well, any time the Creator do anything that he want the people to know where it come from. See, he didn't want the people to think that somehow, some kind of way, the waters went past and beyond what they were commanded to do. So he didn't want the people to think how they think today. You know what happens when the people, remember when New Orleans flooded in the Ninth Ward and many of our people died? And then you see all the various different floods that take place in the various cities down in Florida and Houston and various other places. You notice they always have some type of explanation. And the explanation has always been the waters came to these cities and it went beyond where they were supposed to be. They left the sea, or they left the river, or they left the ocean, came to the sea and took life with them. And it did it because there was just too much water and it rained. Well, it rained a whole lot of times. and the water seemed not to be filled. But then sometimes it will rain and it seemed to overflow. And the world and people think this is some type of coincidence or it's just nature. And no, it's not just nature. It is the Most High. The Most High is the one that brings the floods into the cities. And just to show you this, watch what the Creator let us know in the book of Amos. And I want you to see this because we're dealing with the last days. And when you're dealing with a new era coming in, you got to usher out the other era. And you need to see how the Creator has determined and has purpose to do exactly that. And how else can you be prepared for the Most High to do it? You might ask yourself, well, how do we fit in that new era? Since there is a new era that will be ushered in the book of Amos, the third chapter. And this is what it says. First verse, hear this word that Yah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities, letting us know that there is and there will be a time where we got to meet our Maker and we will be punished for all our iniquities. For we are the only family that the Creator has ever chosen. So make no mistake about it. We have to deal with our iniquities. And then it further lets us know, can two walk together except they be agreed? And that's a question. Will a lion roar in the forest when he have no prey? Another question. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? And really, all these things are common sense things. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? See, these are just common sense things. But this is the most common sense thing Yahweh wants you to know. Shall a trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Can that actually happen? You hear horns going off. And you're not going to be afraid? And watch what he says. Shall there be evil in a city, and Yahweh have not done it? And it's an evil thing to see these waters come into the city. A very evil thing. Because they leave behind them death and destruction. So it ain't nothing that we celebrate. It's something that we typically mourn. And this is what happened during the time of Noah. But it happened in the second month. Just like many other things will happen not only in the second month, but also the second year, but also in the second day, second generation, or even second born. But if you don't have your eyes and your heart and your mind on Yah, then you will miss his signs. So, for example, speaking of the last days, look what the Creator said in the book of Jeremiah. You turn there. Jeremiah And we'll read Jeremiah 23. In the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, we're going to start reading at the 16th verse. And this is what it says. Thus says Yahweh, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of Yah. So in other words, you got a lot of people talking about South Korea, North Korea. You have a lot of people talking about the stock market and what it's doing and what it's not doing, or whether the dollar is going to fall or this, and whether the Chinese is that. And they're talking about all this, but they're not prophesying nothing out of the mouth of Yah. This is just all talk. They make you vain. In other words, now if they talk about the stock market, what you think you're going to start doing? You're going to concern yourself not with Yahweh, but you're going to concern yourself with your money. If they start talking about South Korea, North Korea, what is that going to do for you? What are you going to do? Well, how would that do anything for you? You're not going. That's not going to bring you to Yahweh and cause you to begin to keep the commandments of Yahweh. No. As long as South Korea, North Korea is way over there, in your mind, out of sight, out of mind, it's not here. And so all it does is make you vain. And watch what it says, though. They say still unto them that despise me. Yahweh have said, ye shall have peace. And they say to everyone that walketh out of the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Because I don't hear all the various leaders like I used to. So I don't know what their messages are. I don't know if they prophesying this doomsday thing and telling you what to do to prepare, or whether they telling you you're going to have peace because all you have to do is believe. I don't know what their message is today, but I do know this, that the Creator said their message is either one of peace, and their message that will actually make you vain. Well, let me get me a freezer and store some meat. Let me get me some gun and some bullets. And like I said yesterday, what you gonna do? Shoot Yahweh? How can you? You can't shoot Yahweh. Yahweh made bullets. And watch what it says. For who have stood in the council of Yah and have perceived and heard his word, who have marked his word and heard it. Because if you heard the word of Yah, you perceived it, you marked it, this is what Yahweh is saying. Behold, a whirlwind of Yah is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of Yahweh shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. And I can assure you, we are in the latter days. And these are the things that you should be considering wholeheartedly. This is what perfectly means. You should be considering these things wholeheartedly. And it's no coincidence that here it is. We are in 2018, and just at the beginning of the heathen calendar, and it wasn't the beginning of our calendar, but the beginning of the heathen calendar, they began to discuss and talk about and put in law the commemoration of our 400-year slavery affliction that you only can read one place and one place only, and that is in the Holy Scriptures out of the mouth of Yahweh's prophets. As a matter of fact, this was the very first prophecy that you can even read in the Scriptures. And that prophecy was about our 400-year captivity. And here it is, they made this a law to commemorate in 2018. Now, why is that ironic? Well, that's ironic to me is because the end of what they consider 400 years, the beginning of it will be 2019. But the end of it will be what? Not the end. Because look, if they made it a law in 2018, right? And then 2019, they say that, well, that's 400 years, according to their records. But 2019 is just the beginning. So what will be the end? 2020. Which is how many years from now? Two. And did not Yahweh say the second is about his name? What is the second born, the second generation, the second year, the second day, or even 2 years from now? But make no mistake about it. You're going to see the sign of Yahweh take hold on the earth. And what did Yahweh say about the second? Since 2 years from now will be the end of the 400-year count according to the count that they give. They give 1619. So if they gave 1619, then that can only mean 2020 will be the end of that. And that's 2 years from now. And look what the Creator said about what he would do when he recovered his people in the book of Ezekiel. Let's turn there, the book of Ezekiel. Now, I think this is going to be Ezekiel 36. Notice Yahweh said a whirlwind will come and fall upon the head of the wicked, because and his anger is not going to return until he have executed and done what he had purposed and intended in his heart. And what did he intend to do? He intended to remove all the wicked from the earth, whether they Israel or not. I got it just so for the camera. Praise Yah, though. In the book of Ezekiel 36. And watch what it says. And I take that back. I am going to have my Echoes read for me because it's a great honor. You can, my beloved elder. And the mic is right there. Make sure it's hot. And we're going to read Ezekiel 36, and we're going to start at verse 16.
Ezekiel 36, verse 16. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore, I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of Yahweh, and are gone forth out of his land.
Yeah, look how we profaned his holy name. And the people said, these are the people of Yahweh. It's so bad, even we say, man, we the people of Yahweh?
Yeah.
We looking at ourselves strangely. Well, watch what it says in the 21st verse.
But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel feigned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen with the ye went.
Mm-hmm.
And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land.
And you see, the Creator is going to do this for one reason and one reason only, and that is because of his what?
His name.
His holy name. His holy name. And this is why it's so important for us to know the signs of his great name and what he would do for his name. This is why we understand why he destroyed the earth by flood in the second month. I can understand that. I can understand why he rained bread from heaven in the second month when our people came out of Egypt. See, I can understand that. I can understand why he built the whole temple for his name in the second month. Because this is what Yahweh would do for his name. And just like I can understand, 2 years before he will have the heathen put a law in writing stating they're going to commemorate our 400-year captivity. Who would think that? I mean, what? Why? Why do you want to commemorate this? For what? Recognize it for what? You know it's going to bring up bad memories. So why commemorate it? Because Yahweh wants this thing commemorated. That's why. Because Yahweh is the only one that had it recorded in his word all through the annals of history. that you might look and see that Yahweh, he's perfect. That's why he said in the last days he wants you to consider this thing what? Perfectly. Perfectly. And this is something that our people don't want to consider. But they don't have no choice to consider. See, the Creator let us know even before Moses died. Look what the Creator let us know in the book of Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. Every time I hear about these doomsday messages, one thing I never hear them talk about, I never hear them talk about the earth being rid of the wicked. I never hear them talk about that, that the wicked is going to be destroyed. Because then they have to tell you who the wicked is. Even in Islam, they don't talk about the wicked. Mm-hmm. They just talk about those who believe in a deity, but they won't talk about the wicked. And I'm curious why. Watch what it says in the book of Deuteronomy 31. And it says in the 28th verse, start at 27.
Deuteronomy 31, verse 27. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against Yahweh. And how much more after my death?
Yeah, in other words, if you was rebellious during the life of Moses, just imagine what you're going to be today. But continue reading.
Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days.
And the latter days is the last days. Go ahead.
Because ye will do evil in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger through the work of your hand. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended.
And so here it is. We're in the latter days. Make no mistake about that. So where is the emergency meeting that we should be having to talk about the evil that will befall not only our people, but the evil that's going to befall the world, the earth? Where is this meeting at? Where is this collective council to come together to say, look, what must we do to survive, to sustain ourselves, or to overcome the evil that Yahweh has determined? And of course, as you all know, the only way you can overcome that is through what? Righteousness and humility. That's it. And if you humble, he will teach you the righteousness. Look what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Then we read Jeremiah 23. Let's look at Jeremiah 30. And I may add, I think the 30th was yesterday, right? And that was the day of the new month, correct? And the 30th represent what? I mean, what order is 30? Yeah, order, yeah, 30 is order two. Now, why is that significant? Because if you really look at 30, that's the day of the new month. And the Creator said, from one new month to another, all flesh shall come to do what? To worship Him. And why? Because the day of the new month will be the 30th day. And that, and it represents two. Which you know that's coming from what? And it represents His name. No wonder He said from one new month to another, all flesh shall come to worship before Me. And so it's no coincidence that the Creator said this in the book of Jeremiah 30. And we're going to start reading the 18th verse.
Jeremiah 30, verse 18. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before Me, and I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto Me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto Me, saith Yahweh? And ye shall be My people, and I will be your Elohim. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until He have done it, and until He have performed the intent of His heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it.
Yeah, you're going to, in the latter days, you're going to consider this thing. You're going to consider because you read this thing, and you were foretold this thing before the whirlwind came, before the fierce anger of Yah came. And because you considered this thing, and you considered it in your heart wholeheartedly, then therefore you did exactly what the Creator told you to do in considering this thing. If America knew that another nation was coming against them and have determined evil against them, what do you think all the wise men would do? The FBI, the CIA, the Justice Department. What do you think they would do? where they all would get into a room, they would have an emergency meeting, and they would try to come up with, devise a plan to the evil that's coming upon them. In other words, they might fight back. They might strike first. Or they might try to have peace. But at least they will get together to try to do what? Something. But here it is. Yahweh is telling our people, evil is coming. Evil is determined. And what have we done? What, we're going to wait till the evil come? No, we can't wait till the evil. The evil's here now. What you going to meet for then? It's here. I mean, there's no meeting taking place then. I can assure you. And Yahweh is constantly, consistently, and over telling us, look, this thing is coming. What goes up got to come down. And the wicked is up, and they got to come down. And the Almighty said, get yourselves together before the decree bring forth. And what is it going to bring forth? His whirlwind, his fury, his anger. Look what the Creator lets us know in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. Funny how they allow motorcycles to sound like that, but a car don't supposed to sound like that. A car sound like that, they want to find you, and they want special emissions. But then a motorcycle sound any kind of way and scare everybody. And nothing to say it. The book of Hosea. And watch what the prophet Hosea, the message that he will let us know. In Hosea, the 6th chapter, the very first verse.
Hosea 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up.
And to me, that's a very simple message. That's a simple message that all the Israelite leaders can come together on and say, look here, man, let us return unto Yah. Mm-hmm. Aren't we torn enough? But he will heal us. Mm-hmm. Aren't we smitten enough? But he will bind us up. Mm-hmm. And watch what it says.
After 2 days, will he revive us?
And here go this two again.
That's right.
After 2 days, he will revive us. Because why? Because Yahweh has already made it perfectly clear that the second represents his name. And he made it further clear that he's returning because we have polluted his holy name. So when do you think Yahweh has determined and purposed to do this thing to bring about sanctifying his great name? When our people was in Egypt, when did he sanctify us to him? It was on the second day of the third month. When did he build a temple unto his great name? Even though it was in the fourth year, even though it was in the second month, according to the book of Second Chronicles, or Yeah, Second Chronicles, the third chapter. I want y'all to see this so y'all can understand we're not making up nothing. Hold your page here. I want you to go back. Hold your page at Hosea and go to Second Chronicles, just so you can see this. Second Chronicles, the third chapter. And what are we talking about? The signs of the last days. The signs of the last days is the various evil that Yahweh has purposed on the wicked. And when you want to know when that is going to happen, well, you won't know if you don't even know what the end is. And you won't even consider what the end is. You won't know. Even though Yahweh gave us an open book test and told us the end was 400 years, we still don't believe that. In the book of Second Chronicles, the third chapter, the very first verse, look what it says. Second Chronicles, the third chapter. The first verse.
Second Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where Yahweh appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared threshing floor of Arnon the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign.
Yeah, this was the second day of the second month. And this is what I'm trying to get the people to understand. Yahweh, he's going to sanctify his great name. And when do you think he's going to do it? It's going to be in the second. Whether it's the second day, the second month, the second year, the second generation, and you're going to know what second it will be. But if you're considering this wholeheartedly, then just like today, we in the second year. Now, most Israelites don't even teach what year they're in. But we're in the second year. How can we prepare for the second, and we don't even know when the second is? Going back to Hosea, and watch this again. It says in the first verse again.
Chapter 6, verse 1. Come, and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight.
And if you consider this and think about this, if he's talking about reviving you, after 2 days, in other words, once, whether this is 2 literal days, is after 2 days. In other words, once these 2 days come to an end, oh, it might be 2 generations. It might be 2 years. It might be 2,000 years. But either way, after 2 days, he's going to what? Revive you. Now, when you revive, you're brought back to life. And we are a dead people. We dead to the knowledge that we once had. We're dead to who we really are. We really dead to who the Most High really is. We dead to the very simple things that all the other nations well alive in. They know who they are. They know who their king is. They know their way of life, their language. They know everything about themselves. Even though they don't know the Most High, they know everything about self. But we don't know self. But after 2 days, we're going to be revived. We're going to be woken up. We're going to come to life. And watch what happens after the 2 days.
In the third day.
In the third day.
He will raise us up.
He will raise us up.
And we shall live in his sight.
In other words, now since we're living, in the third day he's going to raise us up. And that makes sense. Because what do the third represent? That's it. It represents Yahweh's servant, Yahweh's messenger that he placed in the earth to represent him, to witness for him, to serve him. And so it makes sense that he will be raised up in the third day. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and what? 3 nights. And then he was able to live now. He was able to represent. He was able to, because once he came out, you best believe he was ready to go to Nineveh. Now, before the 3 days and three nights, he tried to run. He tried to hide. He tried to do everything but what he was supposed and what he was made and created and designed to do. But now, he was revived and he was sent out as a messenger, supposed to be sent. And just like the children of Israel, here it is. The Almighty could have raised them up the first month as soon as he brought them out of Egypt. But he didn't. He could have further did it in the second month after coming out of Egypt. And he didn't. But then in the third month, after our people came out of Egypt, the second day of that month, what would Yahweh do? He would come down on Mount Sinai and speak to the people out of heaven and told them that ye shall be a kingdom of priests, a holy people. And of course, he sent them out in the world with this knowledge. People used to come to Jerusalem just to learn about the Most High. Why do you think he armed Solomon with the wisdom that he had? And today, what's going on? Everybody reading the book of Proverbs. Why? Because this is what Yahweh had prepared his servant to do. Everybody reading about the book of Psalms. Because this is what he prepared his servant David to do. Everybody reading about the law, even though they're not keeping it, they reading about it because this is what he prepared his servant Moses to do. Now watch the third verse.
Then shall we know.
We're going to know.
If we follow on to know Yahweh.
Yeah, that's the only way you're really going to know this thing. If. That's a condition.
If
we follow on to know Yah.
His going forth is prepared as the morning.
Yes.
And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth.
And you have to know what this latter and former rain is because this is how Yahweh said he will come to us. So this is something that you really want to know. You want to find out what is this latter and former rain so I can know how Yahweh has purpose and determined to come to us. Because make no mistake about it, Yahweh said he will visit us. He will return unto us. But how? How would Yahweh return unto us? How would he visit us? And here he said he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. And this is something that we have to know, how Yahweh would do this thing. And of course, what do rain represent? Yes, it represents cleansing, but what is the main thing it represents? Water, life, all that is true. And you notice that when the first time, according to the scriptures, when the first time you can even see it raining on the earth. Do y'all know when that was? Genesis when? And when was that? And what book was that in? Genesis, the second chapter. And what do you think the second represent? Heaven, Yahweh's name. And that's what the rain represents. Why you think he opened up the windows of heaven and rained on the earth 40 days and 40 nights? When was that? In the second month. Because this represents the Most High. This represents his name. This represents his righteousness. Who else can bring us rain? Why you think all you can do is one thing and one thing only when there's a drought is what? What do you do when there's a drought? There's only one thing you can do is what? And what's that? Pray. All you can do is pray when there's a drought. That's it. Where are you going to get the water from? But if you pray, you'll get it from heaven. If Yahweh see fit. This is why we must know the signs of the Most High. I was reading one scripture, and watch what this scripture says. It's a beautiful scripture, and I think it's in the book of Second Chronicles, the 21st chapter, I think it is. Let me see. Yeah, 2 Chronicles 21. We had this wicked king. His name was Jehoram. And he did evil in the sight of Yahweh, just like many of our kings. But this is what it says about this king in 2 Chronicles, the 21st chapter, the 14th verse. Let us start there.
2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 14. Behold, with a great plague will Yahweh smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day.
In other words, this is the plague in which Yahweh had pronounced on Jehoram. Now, it was real important, because Yahweh is specific with everything. And so Yahweh didn't want this man to think he just ate something and he got sick. He didn't want this man to think he just had some type of parasite, and he got sick in his bowels.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted him to know that it came from him. And let me show you how Yahweh showed him that it came from him. Continue reading.
Moreover, Yahweh stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up unto Yehuda, and brake into it, and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, Yahweh smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years.
How many years?
2 years.
Yeah, because Yahweh wanted him to know this came from me. And after the end of 2 years, go ahead.
His bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him, like the burning of his father.
In other words, he wasn't honored at all. He wasn't, you know, there was no honor in this man. And Yahweh made sure he didn't get no honor in his end.
32 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. And departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the king.
Yeah, he wasn't buried with the kings. He was buried in the city, but he wasn't buried in the king. Now, how did Jehoram even learn of his demise? Did Yahweh come to him in a vision? Would he speak to him in a dream? No. Let me show you how this man found out what was going to happen to him. In the same chapter, I want you to start reading at the 11th verse.
Same chapter 21, verse 11. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. And there came a writing to him from Eliah the prophet, saying, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also has slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself.
Which was better than thyself. And this writing came from Elijah the prophet. Now, little do people know, Elijah the prophet had been gone off the earth at this time. He wasn't on the earth at this time. He had already been taken up into a whirlwind, up into heaven. But yet Yahweh allowed Elijah the prophet to send his writing, to send his letter back to earth for this man's wickedness. And now, why did Yahweh do that? Because Elijah was the prophet that had pronounced evil upon the house of Ahab.
Mm-hmm.
And this man had done wickedness like unto Ahaz. And Yahweh was saying, use this same prophet Elijah to pronounce the great plague that he would do with Jehoram. And Elijah wasn't even on earth at this time. And it goes to show you, because a lot of times the people, when they look at the various scriptures, they trying to figure out things, but all they got to do is see how Yahweh worked. As the scriptures say, Elijah the prophet shall return, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children's hearts to the father, lest Yahweh come and smite the earth with a curse. And so Elijah is still there working with Yahweh. And Yahweh can use Elijah however he wants to use him. If he wants to send his spirit back here, it will be done. If he just wants him to write something and send the writing, it is done. Because ain't nothing too hard for Yahweh. Yes, sir.
And where does, when you say it's a letter, speculation?
No, that's not speculation.
Give me a phone from fact.
Look what it says in the 12th verse. Read that 12th verse again.
And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying.
It came to who?
Came to
the king.
That's right.
The king.
That's
and
right.
What did it say? Thus is Yah Elohim of David, thy father.
Yes. Because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, thy father, nor the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but has walked, well, it's clear from where we started again. And there came a writing to him.
That's right. Yeah. And Elijah was already taken up into heaven. He wasn't on no earth at this time. He'd been gone long time ago. And that's one of Yahweh's wonders. It's one of his wonders. And this is what Yahweh would do. And surely he didn't reign. Elijah was, he was nowhere around during the time of Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and all of them. No, he not Elijah. So the Almighty plan on doing wonders in this time. And we in a time frame that you know wonders will be done. But the real question is, are we ready and prepared for the great wonders that Yahweh would do in the earth? For some reason, we think these wonders have to happen in a certain period of time. They do, but time to Yahweh is nothing. Yahweh will have something happen in a moment, and he can fulfill many things in just a moment. And we're looking for things to be fulfilled over the course of thousands of years. That's not how Yahweh do it. That's not how he do it. He make things known right away, short periods of time, and even though he prophesied these things many thousands of years ago, he did it because he didn't want us to say, man, I already knew that. I already knew that was going down. I already knew about that. I already knew this, that, and the other. No, you didn't know. The only people that have been talking about a 400-year captivity is who? Israel. Nobody talk about a 400 and As a matter of fact, people will tell you, well, it really wasn't 400 years, it was 430 years, because he was talking about Egypt. And here it is. We've been toiling and talking about 400 years and waiting on 400 years, and now here it is. He got the heathen who Yahweh know. Look, Yahweh know they're not going to believe us because we've been telling them. But they believe the heathen because they said they're going to commemorate it. And did not Yahweh say, let every matter be established at the mouth of what?
Two or more witnesses.
He was the first witness, and he had the heathen witness it the second time. This is what Yahweh would do. And the second represents his what? It represents his name. And it ain't like they're going to commemorate something that belonged to them. They're commemorating something that belonged to us. And we don't control Congress, Senate. We don't control nothing. But Yahweh control everything, everything, what we have to know. And he's going to control the fact that his name shall be greatly sanctified. It's polluted right now. It's profane right now. But that's because of us. And the last scripture, going back to the book of Jeremiah 30, because I love this, because I remember one of the brothers asked, well, David been dead.
Yeah.
Well, Elijah been gone and he's still writing. So what do that mean?
Sir.
And watch what it says. In the book of Jeremiah 30. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. And watch what he says. Let's read this last scripture. And it's in the book of Jeremiah 30. In the 8th and 9th verse.
Jeremiah 30, starting with verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds. Strangers shall no more serve themselves of him.
Because Yahweh wants you to see this thing. He wants you to see it. That's a sign. But watch what happens.
But they shall serve Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them.
Yeah, and why you think this is in the book of Jeremiah 30, verse 9? Because 9 represent what?
2.
And only one that can raise anybody up is who? And Yahweh said he's going to raise him up. And who represents Yahweh more than the king? The king represents Yahweh. As a matter of fact, all the kings of the earth, who you think set them up? Yahweh. Whether they be good or whether they be evil, Yahweh set the kings of the earth up. He ruleth in the kingdom of men and set up over whomsoever he will, and set up over them the bases of men. So this is what Yahweh will do. This is what Yahweh is going to do. So let us open up our eyes, our hearts, and consider this thing perfectly as Yahweh has commanded us to do. And it just, and all perfectly means is consider this thing wholeheartedly. We don't have long, but do you believe it? Are you prepared to see it? Well, we'll talk about it a little bit more to help you out. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you. So do I. Shalom.
I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by a seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything and to every word spoken. You can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.